to the Hacking Your Health podcast with Ben Canning and Dave Kennedy. Two guys heading out to hack body, mind, business, and beyond. We are here to provide a single source, bullshit-free guide to understanding your body and how you can live better for longer.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. I'm Ben Canning.
I'm Dave Kennedy.
And this is Hacking Your Health Podcast. Good, did it? Everything in order?
Dude, we're like pros. We're pro at this point.
Cool. So we were just saying there, obviously, it's been a while since, well, I mean, it's been 2 weeks, but it feels like it's been a long time. So what's been going on?
Well, I just got back from vacation, which was absolutely beautiful. We went to Grand Cayman, which is kind of like our normal spot now that we kind of go on vacation at if we can. But I had a nice little place right on the ocean and, you know, didn't do a darn thing other than lift every single day and, you know, hang out at the beach and get super burnt and, you know, got to spend time with the family. You know, it's interesting. I would say that this is actually the first vacation where for some reason all of my kids got along and didn't murder each other. And it was like so stress free. Like normally when I get back from vacation with the kids, I'm like, I need another vacation away from the kids. And I didn't feel that way. I actually felt came back energized, you know, rejuvenated, felt really great. And definitely good for the mind and body to do those every so often to get away from things and just detach.
Good. I'm looking forward to seeing how burnt you really are whenever you send your check-in photos.
So I was going to send you like a big circle around, like it's right on my right quad. So what happened was, you know, I had, you know, swim shorts on and, you know, I went into the ocean and everything and I put sunscreen on, obviously. And I literally did 50 SPF the entire time. I was so good. I was so regimented because what always happens on vacation is I get like horribly burnt the first day and then it just sucks the rest of the vacation. I mean, like it's happened like every vacation and Aaron every time is like, put sunscreen on. So like I did religiously this time. I'm like, I'm not going to get burned. Okay. And so I put sunscreen on. And when I sat down, you know, my shorts had ridden up a bit to where I hadn't put sunscreen and I wasn't paying attention. And literally I have this one part of my quad that it's in the check. It's, by the way, it's been a week now, I guess, since I've been in, you know, like almost a week, and it's still burnt red. Like it was purple. It was torched to a crisp. It is not good. So you're definitely going to see that in check-in video.
I guess the last time we spoke, you were saying we were trying to decide if you were going to visit the tanning salon again. So I guess people need to know, did you go again before you went or did you just go straight?
I did go to the tanning salon one more time, and I didn't get burned. I did 6 minutes instead of eight, and that seemed to be okay. And, you know, I had a little bit of a red tint. Like my two areas for some reason that get super like burnt really easy is like right here in the top of my chest. And then like the kind of the small part of my, if you're looking on YouTube, it's a small part of my belly here. It's like two red spots. I don't know why, but everything else was fine. And then, it went down. So I was fine the whole week actually and didn't have any issues. It's funny because like the first day we get there, I'm like, oh, I'll just use like the tanning oil, which is like 15 SPF. And Aaron's like, no. You're putting the 50 on. I'm like, yeah, it's a good call. A good call. So,
I mean, it's just so you have a heard of the cavity.
Yeah. And then, of course, my quad just gets wrecked. So it was so bad.
But other than that, it was good.
Yeah. You know, I came back relaxed. And, you know, it's crazy, like, the stressors that you deal with day in and day life. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast, and I can't remember which one it was offhand. But they talked about how when, you know, we were back in our tribe days, you know, where we didn't have technology and, you know, where human beings were really, you know, really only about 150 deep from a tribe perspective and why we actually increased, you know, as far as population, how we're able to fend off, you know, animals and things like that based on our tribe collectiveness. You know, we had stressors every day in our lives that we dealt with, right? You know, we had animals eating us. We had, you know, starvation. We had lack of food. You know, everybody had to commit to those daily stressors to improve life and agriculture and things like that. And so our bodies are wired to handle stress and to, you know, endure stress on a regular basis. And what's interesting is if you look at all of the old things that used to be a problem for us, they're no longer a problem for us, right? We don't have to worry about being eaten by an animal, at least unless you're not camping out in the middle of nowhere with a bear or, you know, food is readily available. So all the stressors that we used to have historically as human beings are gone. And so we create our own stressors, right? You know, work is obviously a stressor. Dealing with emails and phone calls and text messages and, you know, credit scores and, you know, making sure we can make our payments. So those stressors are basically the same identical type of stressors that we created for ourselves, very similar to how we had to live back in those days. And so, you know, it's interesting when you actually go on vacation for a week and you eliminate those stressors, you really don't have any stressors. So your stressors start to become like, well, shit, where am I going to go eat at today? You know, like, you know, where, what beach do we go to? And those are a lot lower on the scale of stressors than what you have to deal with on a regular basis.
Or so what, I came back, what guy am I going to have to deal with in the gym today? It's going to piss me off.
So there was the socks guy, which we'll get into that discussion here about socks here in a little bit. But, you know, it was a very good trip. Came back very rejuvenated, relaxed, feel great. You know, it's interesting. My heart rate variability, my recovery is up there. You know, everything just hit full track just from a 1 week vacation. So highly recommend getting out there and getting away from things and actually detaching. I literally sent emails. If someone messaged me, like, I'm like, hey, I'm on vacation. I won't be back till Sunday. You know, I'm not responding basically. And I was able to do that.
Good. I think, well, that's obviously, you know, what we want to get into and what we want to talk about. But I think even, you know, chatting with a couple of guys after they come back from the few days that we spent in Ohio, like they said something similar that, you know, okay, potentially their nutrition wasn't 100%. They were potentially drinking more alcohol than they should have been.
Not really potentially was definitely occurring.
But they were not getting enough sleep. They were drinking too much alcohol and they weren't eating. But they were recovering better. HRV was better. Rest and heart rate was better because they didn't have those stressors of day-to-day life, like emails and work and whatever else. So I definitely think that that's a good point to note. But it's interesting what you say about how we sort of, not that it's a massive stress trying to work out where to go for dinner, who's going to piss you off in the gym, but it's almost like your body's craving some sort of stress in some way.
Yeah, it does. Isn't it strange how we have to have stressors in our life in order for us, I think, to feel human, right? Because we've always dealt with stressors our entire life. It was actually interesting. Do you know why kids have night lights on at night? You know why that is? Why that's a comfort feel for kids?
No,
because when we were growing up through our ancestral ages, we used to have campfires to protect us against predators, and so it's an alleviation factor for kids and protection when there's light on, because you know the whole predator aspect of things of animals coming in and killing us in the middle of the night. You know, and so it's interesting how we've evolved, you know, over the years, and how a lot of that stuff is still stuck in our DNA. And how we still, you know, are literally animals, you know, that have, you know, obviously have intelligence and everything else. But, you know, those stressors are things that are how we compute and how we actually handle day-to-day life. And, you know, we create our own stressors. I mean, social media has no bearing whatsoever on anything at all in life, yet it stresses people out, right? And it becomes their tribe too, right? You know, it becomes their tribe of people that we used to have to, you know, be next to each other to, but now you have this tribe on social media and create your own stressors there where it literally is just data. It's not even real. So, you know, we it's interesting how we manage and interpret stressors and how stressors are pretty much day in and day of our life, but it's how we manage that stress that I think is so important to our well-being and our mindsets and how we actually accomplish what we want to accomplish in life, whether that's, you know, being successful in business, whether that's being a great father or great, you know, having a great family, whether that's, doing well with your fitness and health journeys. All of those things are managing stresses and being able to apply yourself even when you're under heavy stress to be able to reduce those. And also recognize that in the grand scheme of things, is it really this big of a stress? Or am I telling myself that because, you know, I'm letting this get to me from a stress perspective? So a lot of these things are things that we can manage, I think. And I think a good discussion point of today, how we manage stress.
Yeah, well, I think I've actually dealt with this a couple of times with clients recently that they are saying that, you know, they have a lot going on. It's a lot of stress. And like, obviously people deal with loads of different shit and have lots of different stressors, you know, on a massive scale. And the only thing that I can ever sort of give them a bit of perspective on is, you know, control the things that you can control. So if you have something in your life that you think, oh, I'm really stressed about this, like if you take 10 seconds to think, right, is there actually anything I can do to change it right now? If the answer is no, then sack it and then go to the next thing that you can have control of. Now, yes, okay, it's easy for me to say that, but I think if you have that sort of thought process on it, it could definitely help sort of differentiate between the things that you can actually be stressed about and deal with things that there's actually no point in being stressed about because there's nothing you can do about it. Like being stressed about the price of fuel, like, okay, right, it's high, but there's fuck all we can do about it. And the people who are dealing with it on the other side, there's a lot more going on than how much the fuel costs.
Yeah, and I think those stressors are important to know. I used to always get anxiety around my work, especially around like unhappy customers. You know, if a customer was unhappy, I'd get this big pit in my stomach. I'd feel like the entire world was crumbling down upon me and that there was no way I could climb out of it. I was in this darkness, right? And what I started to realize is that there's always going to be unhappy people in your life. There's always going to be unhappy people that you're dealing with. Did you do the best job you possibly could to make that successful? And if are there ways to make it even better? And in the event that you have something that's like a pissed off customer or, you know, you have something like that, you want to do everything you possibly can to help that person, but realize it's just one customer out of, you know, 100,000 customers that are perfectly happy and fine with everything that you're doing. And you have one person that maybe just had a shit day and, you know, they're taking on you, or they're not a good person, or maybe you messed up, you know, messing up happens. It's not the end of the world. So how do we take those stressors and reduce them in our own minds so that they aren't creating this cyclical effect of putting ourselves into them? And I think there was a podcast that you had talked about before. It's either that or a tweet that you said, but if your entire life is, you know, negativity, right? And if your entire surrounding of the same groupthink of people that you're with is negativity, you're going to be a negative person, and you're going to make people around you negative as well. And, you know, the groupthink thing is such a interesting one because, you know, again, social media and, you know, things like that have surrounded us with people of the same type of opinions and things to that effect. And we get in our own myopic views of things versus what's reality. And all of those things contribute to our stresses. So if you're around folks that are continuously upset or continuously angry with the world, and believe me, there's a lot of stuff to be angry with in the world. There's a lot of stuff that you should be upset with. But if that's your day-to-day life, that's going to impact your health. That's going to impact your drive and motivation, your obsessiveness around specific things and focusing, you know, hyper-focusing on those. Those are all things that will impact your life in some way. So my best advice for people, especially on mindset, is reduce as much negativity as possible and negative people from your life so that you can be happy with what you have, what you've accomplished. And again, there are studies, you know, a long-term history of evolution of humans where we live and strive for completing something for our tribe. You know, whether that's creating a pot or agriculture, but we're providing for one specific purpose of human survival. Same thing from a global perspective. We all want humans to survive an asteroid thing. So, you know, I think colonization of different planets is a great idea, right? You know, but we're all striving for goals for ourselves to make each other better. And I think most people would say, "Hey, I want to make the world a better place," or "Hey, I want to make my kids' life better than when I came on here," right? And those types of positive things that you can look at and complete things for your tribe. That's why donating to charity feels good. That's why going out and helping others feels good. That's why, you know, doing good things equates to good vibes to you. Good karma creates good karma. All those things are true things that really happen. So, you know, think of your life as that type of way. How do you surround yourself with those positive elements to impact positivity in your life? And again, Andrew Huberman did a podcast on this. Around your ability of creating positivity and how negativity creates negativity. And those are very contagious things in your life.
Yeah, I think the thing about that for me is having perspective on things and, you know, even being able to see it from the other side. Like you said, you know, okay, maybe you've dealt with someone who has been pissed off, so they've taken that out on you, but being able to sort of know that potentially they've had a shit show and not to sort of reflect that truly on yourself or not to allow it to impact your day. Like, I think that's a strong mindset because it can be easy to sort of absorb that and then become that. And I think a decent point to note on that is some people have their whole identity around being pissed off about things, and that is obviously their choice and whatever. But if you can recognize that, you know, people generally, they maybe don't want to be happy and they want to just be seen to be pissed off about something and rant about things. If you can sort of separate yourself from that, I think that's a good point to note, like the fucking multivitamin guy.
But, yeah. I mean, obviously that guy was upset with life in general, but, well, I mean, a good example, just the other day, you know, I get home from the Caymans and, I decide, hey, it's a good time to completely redesign my network infrastructure at home. And I upgrade my wireless and it's broke as shit. Like the new technology that Amazon put out, Eero 6E, is just broke. Like it doesn't handle large scale, no networks. It's just constantly rebooting, connecting. The Android app is bugged to hell. It's just a terrible product right now. Again, it'll probably get better. I'm at the point now where I literally, as soon as this podcast ends, I'm going to the store and buying a whole new system, and I'm going to return everything else. And I'm pissed off about that, right? Because, you know, I spent good money for a product that historically has been really good, and they, you know, probably rushed it out. And, you know, any new product that you get is typically riddled with bugs and things like that. But this is like something very uniquely different. And again, no knock on anybody there that works there. You know, I've been a huge fan for a long time, but, you know, I'm on support, and, you know, I could have totally been an asshole to the person on support, but it's not the person's in support's issue. It's not their problem. It's, you know, it's a combination of development, rush product lines, sales and marketing, big conglomerate company, compatibility, maybe with testing a lot of, you know, large size networks or short size networks and everything in between. And doing home networks is tough in general. So things that you run into that you wouldn't necessarily run into in your own test environment. So there's a lot of complexities here that make the product what it is today. And the support person is there to help me. I'm not there to shit on him and say, your product sucks. I can't believe you were part of this company to do this. No. Thank you so much for taking your time and for your job to try to help me facilitate this, to get this to work. And even though you're probably not going to be able to fix my issue because it's a bug with the product, let's walk through the steps to figure out what's the best way of doing this, right? And so eventually got escalated, you know, to tier two support. And it's going to take me 6 months probably to get a response back from them. But at the end of the day, you know, that person had a great day. I had a great, you know, discussion with the individual, talked a little bit about their life, our lives, you know, and everything was good because they had normal human conversations. But again, if I was a total dick, you know, and I'm pissed off at this product, I'm going to be a dick to this guy, and this guy's going to have a bad day, and he's going to be a dick to the next person. As you know, it's this contagious aspect of things that really makes a huge impact.
It is.
Like, and it happens to me all the time. Like, if I get a dick at the store, I'm like, man, that guy's a dick. And I'm going to be a dick to somebody else, you know? So it's like, why do we do this? Why do we do this?
One thing that I find recently, like if I've been on call or on hold or support to someone, and they ask me what I do, and I tell them, they automatically like, oh, so you know what, I do a bit of the gym myself. And then you're like a 20-minute deep conversation about the gym and about training. I'm like, okay, well, you're number one, you're welcome. And number two, can we sort the fucking problem out, please?
You know, it's funny. I watched a video yesterday of Jay Cutler going to the gym. I think it was a gym called Mecca. And it's funny because he was trying to get his workout done. And literally he gets stopped by every machine he goes to have a conversation. So his workout, which is probably going to be, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, ends up being like a 3-hour video because he's continuously, you know, having to interact with people. And, you know, again, Jay could be a total dick and be like, listen, I'm just trying to get my workout in, you know, leave me alone. But instead he's like, no, man, like, let's talk. Let's have a good conversation, you know, and it's not going to hurt me to take a, you know, 5-minute pause between my break to go and have a conversation with you. So I dedicate a little bit more time to talking to things. So it's those act of kindnesses that make a difference in the world, and humility and humanity that I think we've lost a lot on the online stuff, because you don't read people's facial expressions. You don't read people's intent. You don't read, you know, and people aren't the greatest at communicating online either too. So it's hard to express emotion, which we cue off of very heavily, both from a visual, auditory, and everything else perspective, even smell and taste and things like that. And, you know, pheromones and things that occur that, you know, we don't recognize, but are naturally occurring in our bodies. You know, those types of things we lose directly with communication online too. So I think when you're on a phone with somebody, you're losing the video aspects of a person, or they're not really a human on the phone. It's just somebody I'm talking to, and screw them because I'm pissed off. You know, whereas if they're right in front of you, you're going to be like, oh, it's a human being. I'm not going to treat this human being with disrespect. So I think a lot of the things that we do, I think, you know, online has made up a big part of the negativity. But I also think it's created a lot of positivity too. So for me, you know, it's your choice, right? Do you want to be a negative person online, which will impact your health, which will impact your performance, which will impact your recovery, which will impact your physical ability to do things, your drive at your office and job? Or do you just tune out the negative noise, you know, mute, block people that are negative or that you're not interested in, and then focus on people that are positive in your life? And that has been something that has been transformative to me, because, you know, I went through a lot with the whole conference thing with DerbyCon, and, you know, I felt like the world was collapsing on me when I was just trying to do the right thing to help people out. And we were all trying to do the right thing to help people out, but no matter what we did to do the right thing, it was always met with just a whole bunch of pile on from the social media stuff that you deal with on day in and day out. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It didn't even exist. It wasn't even real. And yet it weighed us down so much that it impacted our personal lives. And, you know, again, something that's completely made up and fabricated has no bearing on reality of what actually occurred or what we did to try to, you know, to help folks out. And, you know, it was weighing on us so much that, you know, we canceled the conference in many cases. And so when you look at that and you say, well, why? I mean, like, you know, and after that point, I'm like, listen, I'm done dealing with that stuff. Like, it's not real. So get rid of the fake things that aren't real in life and the noise, the drama. And I don't mean to use the word drama in it. There's a lot of, obviously, things that are happening out there that need addressing and correcting and things to that effect. I'm not discrediting that. But, you know, with the fabricated type of negativity from the outrage community at large is just largely noise. It's not real. So removing that from my life made things a lot better. Removing politics. I don't watch the news. I don't read the news. I get, you know, clips here and there like, hey, you know, obviously Ukraine war and stuff like that. But I don't watch the news. I don't go to news organizations. I'm on the news, but I don't watch myself on the news. I actually hate watching myself in anything. Or listening to myself too, but I don't allow myself to be consumed day in and day out with things that I can't correct or address. If there's things that I can correct and address and make the world a better place, I will do it. You know, I created a technology institute for a heavily poverty area for technology and computing and gaming, where I created 11 scholarships a year for very poverty stricken, predominantly black neighborhoods. You know, I do charity events all the time. I mean, Trusted Tech donates a ton. All of our swag stores go to charity. You know, we try to make the world a better place any way we possibly can. And those are the things that I can directly impact. I can't impact everything else. So why deal with it? Why bother with it? Why even make it a bothersome for me? And my life has been so much better because of it.
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, what you do with a lot is great. And it just goes back to control the controllables. But I think, you know, like you say, people can get so caught up in the negativity that is social media, but it's a simple fix. You just need to not read the stuff, like unfollow the people, block the people, meet the people. Like, you're literally in control of what you absorb. And if it is all negative, then that's obviously going to come through in the rest of your life and everything else. So, like, I don't purposely don't follow a lot of people on social media for that reason. And even other coaches, but like, oh, did you see this coach is doing that? I'm like, probably about three coaches that I follow because they're friends of mine or I respect them in the industry. But aside from that, like, I don't really know what anybody else is doing because it doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me. Like, it's not up to me. I just have to focus on what I'm doing with you guys and everybody else. So fully in control of the stuff that you absorb on social media, and the same with the news. Like, I couldn't tell you what's going on in the news. Again, yes, I know the same things that you do, but it's like anything beyond that is like, I don't know.
Don't need to know. It's not, you know, honestly, and I know, again, I understand people are very focused on that. That's kind of their tribe or what they're focused on. If that's for you, that's fine. You know what? It's not for me. Right. And those are the things that I have eliminated to make things a lot easier for me to cope with day in and day. I focus on my family. I focus on my businesses. I focus on my friends. I focus on my health. I focus on the things that I can impact and make a positive influence on people. And obviously this podcast and working with you, positive, you know, influence. I mean, time and time again, I just got another direct message today saying, you know, someone's down 25 pounds. It's the first time they've ever been able to lose weight in their entire life and that they're on track for everything that they want to accomplish in life and that they're so much better off. You know, those are the types of things that I live for because I'm making an impact on somebody's life. Like, you know, like you're making an impact on somebody's life. You're changing their life in some way, shape, or form. And that's the most notable thing. That's, to me, that's the most positive that you can get in life is by helping other people. And, you know, if you can accomplish that with a whole bunch of people, that's great because guess what? They're going to help other people. And that shit is contagious as hell. And more people helping more people, that's how we get better, right? That's how we improve society. That's how we improve each other. That's how we improve working with one another, the humanity aspects of things, by helping one another and picking people up. And I think that's the big piece. Now, one thing we didn't get to, Ben, that we just kind of jumped into the subject, but how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm actually doing really, really good. Truth be told, like, I mean, I feel like it's taken me probably this week to catch up with everything from being away. Obviously I still work when I was away, but just like getting back to normality and whatever else. And then obviously Easter stuff and whatever, but, yeah, no, things are good. I went to see the story that I was going to get into sort of relates to what's been going on, but I went to see a physio. Obviously I've been complaining about my shoulder for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, but just you talking about like things that you do and things that you can control. So he was like, obviously asked me what I did and I told him, and he was like, what sort of people do you work with? And I told him, and he was like, you know, outside of work in the gym, like, what else do you do? And I was like, nothing, not much really, but it's like, you know,
pretty much it.
Yeah, that is pretty much it. But it's like, you know, okay, like I'll spend time doing this and sorting out the podcast, and I'll spend time having calls with people and whatever else. And like, it's funny because if I equate the amount of hours that I put into work as such, it's probably quite a lot, but none of it actually feels like work. And I feel like that's probably the best thing for me, because I don't mind putting the time in. Like, I don't mind scheduling calls. I don't mind having to put the hours into the work in. And like, anything that I've ever done in the past where I was working for someone, I wouldn't have minded doing, you know, 70, 80, 90 hours a week, but you're working to help, you know, you're working for someone else. Whereas I can do that now. Number one, help people improve the quality of their life. And number two, I'm doing it for myself and I don't see it, but it did make me think. I'm like, I'm going to need some sort of hobby, because if I'm interacting with other people and ask me what else I do, I'm like, just go to the gym and that's, you know, just do my work and that's it. But interesting. So obviously I've always thought it was my shoulder. Long story short, we did everything. We did all the tests and he basically thinks it's an issue with my bicep tendon. So your bicep will connect up through your shoulder. And I don't really know if this is exactly what he was getting at, but from what I gather, he basically has said to me, and I'll take it this way, that
you need to eat more ketones to fix it.
No, the muscle, like my chest muscle and my shoulder muscles are too strong for my tendons. So my tendons need to catch up.
So what you're saying is your tendons are being little bitches right now, and the rest of your body is like, I'm ready to go.
My left hand bicep tendon is being a little bitch, and everything else is fine. But yeah, he just basically said it just needs some time to catch up. It's not a massive problem. And he said, even I said it's probably been about 3 months, and he said even with that, like, it's probably still quite early on in it to catch it. So I have to just limit what I do in terms of certain movements. For example, not do any sort of pressing with any bar, not do any sort of pressing overhead. If I'm pressing like chest press with dumbbells, to either really control the movement to a point where I'm not pushing past on my shoulder, or else just move to floor press so I'm not like pulling on it.
I
have like 4 or 5 rehab exercises that I have to do with like 2 pound dumbbells and give it this one and like just this sort of movement. But he said to me himself, actually, now that I look at it, your left bicep's a bit smaller than your right one. I was like,
oh, what? No, that's the worst thing you say to me.
No, I was like, what do you mean? Like, how much smaller? Like, how did you notice?
But someone on Twitter said to me one time, he's like, your left shoulder looks bigger than your right shoulder. I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, you know, I go to the mirrors. I'm like, no. So like, I've been like working my right shoulder. I'll do a little more extra. Two extra sets of time.
Fuck that guy on Twitter. But no, so it's good to sort of know. I haven't put a lot of loads. It's actually funny. So I'm going to say Tuesday was the first day I'd been back in the gym training with Hammy, and I felt great. And it was obviously because I hadn't trained probably in about, I would say probably 8 days. And I was like, you know, I was doing chest press and it was like 110 pound dumbbells. I was like, I feel good, but I don't want to like push it past, you know, I don't want to get sort of put the cart before the horse. So
I have to just, I did 115 the other day, by the way, just on that there.
Well, send me the video and I'll check it out. But yes, anyway, it's good to know what's going on and have a plan. And he says like within a few months it should be caught up and we should be good to go back to it. He said that we just need to sort of start to reintroduce things. So me not doing any overhead press, you remember whenever I was there, I just didn't do it. Yeah. So he said that was the right thing to do. And it was funny.
How long did they say it's gonna take?
He said probably about 3 months. It depends, obviously, if the rehab and the treatment works. But he said probably about 3 months back to sort of train at full capacity. But he said
that, you know what that means, though. You know what that means?
No,
that's 3 months of me working on just those areas very heavily, so that I can reach next time you're here.
That's okay.
So.
But at least my tendons will be caught up, and everything will be good. I'll not have any issues. But he was saying like one of two things will happen whenever you get an injury like this. Either you'll just stop, people will just stop doing anything to avoid it, or else you'll just be pigheaded in par three, which is what I did.
Yeah.
He said neither are the right thing to do, but generally he said to just sort of adapt what you're doing is probably the best thing to do, which is what I had been doing probably just subconsciously. But I'm on the journey now. It'll be interesting to see. It's funny because I sent a screenshot through to him and he was like, right, you have to do these things that the physio says, because I want to know if physio actually works. Because any client that he's dealt with before, whenever they get stuff from the physio, they go, yeah, the physio gave me exercises, but I haven't done them. So I'm going to, my pink dumbbells should be here today, and I'm going to have like the boxes out and everything set up. But it should be interesting.
That's something to be said. Like, and I know when I was going to like a PT or something like that, and they'd be like, oh, you have like hip bursitis or something like that. They'd be like, oh, you need to do these, you know, 5 stretches per day. I'm like, yeah, sounds good. And don't do the 5 stretches ever.
Didn't do
like,
no, I know.
Never. Yeah. Yeah, same thing for
I'm gonna do it. I'm definitely gonna do it.
All right, let me know how it goes. Seriously,
I will. Yeah, I will. I'll keep us updated in the progress.
One thing you did chat about that I thought was a good point to bring up is that you don't feel like this is work, right? And I think that's an important aspect to, I think, what drives me and ultimately why you and I work so well together. You know, when I started off my career in security, it wasn't a job for me. It was one of these things where I loved doing it. I loved hacking away code. I loved figuring out vulnerabilities and exposures. I loved, you know, going into environments and exploring things that I never identified before and just learning something new. It was like this big puzzle, this big exciting game that I was going through day in and day out. And I couldn't get enough of it. I mean, you know, we talk about the bragging aspects of being, you know, up at 4 o'clock in the morning and coding and not sleeping and not taking care of our bodies. The reason why I did that is because I loved it. I couldn't shut myself down because I was always learning more and more. And so every day I was smarter and smarter and smarter. And every day I learned something brand new that I had never done before. And it was this massive like brain tax too, because, you know, you remember when I first was learning exploit development and, you know, there was a paper on FRAC that was like getting around data execution prevention. I think it was from like Egypt. It was like one of the first papers that came out on data execution prevention bypasses and getting around read-only memory pages. And, you know, it was such a vague article. It was kind of like a more of an experimental, like it's potential hypothetical. And so I remember sitting there for like literally 2 weeks in my basement. You know, luckily Aaron loves me to death, I guess. But, and I just had pizza boxes everywhere and, you know, pop soda boxes and everything, living the healthy lifestyle. And, you know, just racking my brain trying to figure this out. And I think I put it in some stupid, it was like a really easy buffer overflow on SL mail. And I reworked the buffer overflow to have like one of the first working exploits of data execution prevention at the time, which, you know, hadn't been done before. And it was one of those things where I felt so accomplished because, you know, like when I first started with it, I'm like, I have no idea what any of this means. I need to research it. I need to figure things out. And it just taxed my brain, get frustrated. Like, I'm so stupid. I'm an idiot. Go upstairs, you know, sleep for like 2 hours, come back. Like, oh, I can remember this. I can do this now a little more. That game thing was never a job. You know, it was always exciting. It was always fun. But most importantly, what I loved about what I did was I shared all my information. You know, I shared my tools. I wrote new tools. And what fueled me was helping my tribe, which was the security industry, the security community at the time. And, you know, that fueled the security community to grow and to add on, to build things and to do things differently. And so that collective knowledge created what we have as the security industry. I'm not saying I'm the only person. There's a lot of people that contributed their knowledge. You know, I'm just one of many. But, you know, that sense of value that you're getting from helping others is what drove me in this industry to progress myself forward. And I think that's why I was telling this actually to somebody that was, I think just reached out to you for a consultation to potentially use you, was that I said, I think that's why Ben and I get along so well, is that Ben doesn't view this as work. He views it as helping others, and he just happens to be what he gets paid for doing. And it's that helping aspect of things that really led me to you, and obviously why I think we've gelled so well together, because you have everybody's best interest at heart. It isn't, hey, take this supplement, do this and do this, and then you don't even look at their check-ins and you're like, hey, go on. I mean, you're held with a lot of responsibility. People fail at this. They're failing again in their life. And who knows where that takes them from a failure perspective. You know, like, you know, if I failed so many times, when I reached out to you, you were literally my last line. Right? Like, this is it. Because I fail it every other time. This is probably the rock bottom of the rock bottom of the rock bottom. And the fact that I have success with you is, I think, a direct equivalent that it's because you like to help others. Right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, outside the calls and outside chat to people, it's the stuff that we've spoken about before when people are coming back and, you know, they're even with you, like your doctor saying about your blood work or, you know, somebody else or, you know, their sleep apnea or it's not about, like, whenever people come to me like, oh, I want to look good with my shirt off at the beach, I'm like, cool, like, fuck yeah, like, I get it. But it's not about that. Like, okay, yes, the physical change is great. And one thing I've actually noticed recently is a lot of people are coming asking for what we always see as the byproduct. So you talk about brain fog and energy and focus and all this here. People are coming actually wanting that. And they know, obviously, the physical change will happen, but they're like, I need to have more energy. Like, I need to be able to be more focused and work and stuff like that. So I think that's been a cool shift for me to see in terms of, like, whenever I say to people, like, well, why are you here? Like, what is it you want to get from this? Or how can I help you? They're like, well, this is what I want. And they give me that list. And it's not necessarily, you know, I just want to lose weight, or I just want to put on muscle, or I want, you know, bigger biceps or whatever. It's like something that's actually going to benefit the quality of their life beyond having a six pack. You know, it doesn't really benefit the quality of your life, if I'm honest.
It does. You know,
it's good for Instagram, but that's
it. You know, what's interesting about, I think what you've taught me and what has been instilled into me isn't, hey, I look good with my shirt off. That was one component. I felt freaking awesome taking my shirt off at the beach. I walked around the beach. I was by far the most muscular person there. There was actually one guy. He was like 42, probably 42, 43. He looked really good. I was like, damn, dude, you look good. He's like, I'm like, you got some good muscles. I didn't say that to him, but I was like, I want to go over and be like, hey, what do you lift? You know where you're at? Because like, I was like, he puts the time in. You know, like I was kind of like, he's a little bit bigger than I am. So there's one guy that was actually a little bit bigger than me the entire time I was there, but I was the biggest guy by far every other time but him. I was like, damn it, I was the biggest guy until you came aboard. So why are you on this island? When are you leaving? When's your vacation end? But you know, I felt great, obviously, with my shirt off. I walked around with my shirt off. You know, and that's a very big step for me, by the way. And I've talked about this previously in the podcast, but me with my shirt off has always been a self-conscious piece of it. I felt absolutely fantastic out there. Felt great. But I'll tell you, I think that's actually, I think, the first thing I said to you. You know, when I wanted to go on this journey, is like, I want to look good with a shirt off, and I want to have like a six pack of abs and everything that you talk about. Cause I was so naive and myopic about what I was looking at. What I was looking for is, how do I control my destiny and my health? I have that. I have all the tools necessary to control my destiny and my health. And if I don't want to do that, and if I just want to eat like shit all day and I don't want to lift, I can do that too. But I have all the tools necessary to make myself successful, my health, whatever that is. And, you know, the biggest hurdles that we had before, whenever I gain a pound, I'm like, Ben, I'm getting fat. Ben, I'm getting fat again. I gained a pound. You know, like I'm such a fat ass. You know, look at my pictures. Look at this. You know, I have this little piece of fat here. You can see it. You know, this pound, I can tell it's right here in the side. You know, and I'd freak out.
I gained a pound and it's right here.
It's right here. It's at this spot right here. I can tell it's right there. But
I think that's an interesting thing to mention, because, you know, obviously, we've spoken about before about mindset, and 9 times out of 10, if someone comes to you wanting to lose weight or wanting to look good with their shirt off or whatever, they don't see it as they have a mindset issue. They don't see it that way. They see it as a weight issue. And obviously, yes, if you break it down, it is a mindset issue, because it's how you think about things. It's how you think about, like, how you view your day and whatever else. And the same with the lifestyle. Like, it's a lifestyle thing. It's like, what way are you choosing? What are your habits and those things? So they don't necessarily come and go, oh, I have a problem with my mindset, can you help? It's like, I'm overweight and I need to not be. What do we need to do? And then we break it down, and it gets into the mindset. So it's almost like the fat loss aspect is the gateway in, and then you go, right, okay, well, this is actually what your problem is, but it's like, this is what we need to address first before we think about, you know, going down the line of, you know, fat loss or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that's a product of our society, right? Because you can take pills to lose weight, even though it doesn't really work. You can take a diet to lose weight, but it doesn't work. But, you know, no one's ever satisfied when you lose 20 pounds. You're still skinny fat. You don't have the desired results you want to. You probably still have the brain fog. You just starved your body for 6 months, and you feel like complete shit. You know, like, all of these things are things that we've created ourselves with from a societal perspective, versus the long-term vision of, let's live a healthy lifestyle. And what does that mean to us? That's making changes in positivity that we talked about earlier. You know, that's surrounding ourselves with positivity so that we can be positive in nature towards ourselves and others, which directly equates to motivation, or equates to everything else. Getting our food under control, you know, not always being readily available. Caloric restriction is a good thing. It has longevity of life aspects of things, general health benefits. I mean, caloric restriction is a huge thing, and understanding what calories you're putting into your body. You know, all of these things are things that help you, you know, start to get control of these things. Resistance training, obviously, is a big component that you want to build muscle. But here's the thing, like, I'll hear continuously time and time again, well, I need to lose 40 pounds. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, what does 40 pounds mean to you? Does that mean over time, we give you, because you incorporated resistance training, you're eating the right things from a calorie deficit perspective, you know, you're doing the right things to make that a long-term sustainable goal? Or is your goal to try to do keto for 6 months and drop 40 pounds and then gain it back again, you know, gain 60 pounds again down the road? And it's those short-term views that really hurt us in our long-term goals, because we want that immediate thing. We're taught a society, like, just the other day, Amazon, I ordered, it's some sort of supplement. I don't even know what it is anymore. which we should talk about a little bit of those. It's some sort of supplement that I thought was pretty good. Like, real quick sidebar tangent. So I really recently rebooted my supplement thing to simplify it and just have a couple things, you know. And now I'm back to the same amount of freaking pills that I've been doing before because I keep adding stupid things. So it was what I ordered yesterday was choline and Incidol, which is really good for fatty liver, liver enzymes and things like that. Just a good colon or a good liver type of cleanse. Anyways, I bought it, and within an hour, I had it delivered at my door. Within an hour. I've never seen it before. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, it's literally like I didn't have to go. I couldn't even gone to the store faster to pick that up and have it dropped off to my house. And I had it within an hour. So we want immediate things right now. Yeah. Health is the same thing. If I don't see a change in a day or two, if I don't drop 5 pounds in 2 days, you know, then I'm not doing it right. I need to starve myself. And I won't say who's doing this right now, but someone I know very close to me is doing a cleanse right now. And it's one of those like cleanses that they saw online. And it's like you can only eat like these fucking bars that are like this tiny. And it's basically... It's a fasting diet to keep you in an intermittent fasting state. So obviously intermittent fasting is the big buzzword right now. Everybody's, you know, collecting on that bandwagon right now. Whereas really all you need to do for intermittent fasting is just have feeding windows where you eat certain times. And it's, you can do caloric restriction that way, but it's great for your body to not always, you know, have food available to you. It gives your body, you know, time to recoup and regenerate and digestive tract and everything else. But anyways, like, literally eating just these tiny little bars and like these horrible like drinks that taste like acid, and they have to do it for 5 days. And it's like 500 calories each day for 5 days. And this person is miserable, you know, every single day going through this. But I understand if you want to like cleanse your body, but that is not a sustainable diet. You're going to drop probably 5 or 10 pounds, but you're going to gain it right back in 2 weeks. And, you know, so these types of diets that are on the news or someone famous did it, you know, like those aren't things that are going to work for you long term. These are lifestyle goals, things you have to change with your addiction to food, your addiction to stress, your addiction to not working out and doing the healthy things. Those are what's going to make the big difference in you for being successful.
I think actually the famous person of the social media thing is a good point to note. This, I was on it was actually Stephen Bartlett, the guy, the Diary of a CEO podcast. And there was just a clip on him on Instagram, and he was talking about the power of social media influence. So you're talking about, say, for example, I had 1 million followers and I was recommending taking this diet pill. Somebody else who comes into that is almost going, okay, well, there's a million people who are following this person who are saying yes to this thing. Yeah. So that's 1 million people that are backing this because he's saying that. And I think that's
instantly. Boom.
That's a big problem with the influence of social media, and if people sort of take it beyond things that are, I guess, actually work or actually beneficial for health long term. And I think that, again, that's the tribe thing, and it's like, okay, well, you know, it's this many people are backing this person, so it must work or it must be good or whatever.
Yeah, I think the influence aspect of things is how we, again, historically, from a tribe perspective, you grew. We had tribe leaders. We had folks that were in charge of our tribes and its health and safety. Usually the strongest ones would typically go out and fight, you know, wars and things like that with other tribes. And so, yeah, that's right. Yeah, maybe the tribe leaders. Give me a spear. you know, those types of influence aspects get down to our direct DNA of how we actually operate. Like, we look at superiority in some way or shape or form. And that superiority is the wrong word. We look at authority, or we look at people in power as somebody that are potentially better than us, which is not the case at all. They're human beings. No one's better than anybody else, period. Like, we're all equals when it comes to how we are as human beings. It's just one person may have had the success or became into a certain, you know, position of authority or social media awareness or whatever ends up being, or is a friggin' social media influencer, whatever the hell that is. And it's taken as word of gospel when it's not actually surrounded in reality. And so a lot of these diets that come out, you know, like I think it was like, not Dr. Phil. There's another like famous doctor that was like doing the raspberry ketone things. Like, the ketones were like the latest scientific breakthrough research in how to lose weight, and it was total bullshit. And you know, a lot of these things are same thing. Like, they'll see a controlled study that is done in mice that has some sort of applicability, and then all of a sudden now it's like, that's the gospel because it's going to work in humans. And there are a lot of similarities between mice and humans, but there's a lot of differences between the two as well, and what actually works from a chemistry perspective. And so, you know, these small studies will come out and people are like, oh, this one root that is only found in the volcano of this area creates this effect where it's never been seen before, and you can drop 70 pounds in 2 days. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, we need to get this. And then in supply and demand, people make a ton of money off of it. And all of a sudden now it's great. Intermittent fasting is a great example. Some great science behind it, some great benefits behind it, but it's been completely bastardized by these diet programs and things that aren't sustainable to allow you. Like, 2 hour feeding windows is total bullshit. Like, I would hate my life if I can only eat for 2 hours. Like, that's bullshit. And there's actually some studies there that show it's horrible for you. Like, you gain weight in those situations. So, you know, it's one of those things where we have to be able to look at what we know, what works for us, fit that into our lifestyle, and create an ecosystem that works for us based on our priorities, our time, our effort, what our goals are, an accomplishment. But it can't be that short-sighted view of, I need it done tomorrow. It's going to take time.
Yeah. And the thing about you saying about the 2 hour window, like, I would almost see that as challenge accepted. I was like, right, how much food can I actually consume in 2 hours? Do you know what I mean? If I had a 2 hour eating window, everything else is on pause. I am eating as much food as I possibly can in that 2 hour window, if that's all that I had. But I think the one thing that number one, I always talk about time, and I'm like, look, you know, it's not going to be an overnight thing. Like, that's why I only work with people for a minimum of 6 months. And sometimes that's not long enough for what they want to achieve. And the other thing is, you know, being able to take things from these diets as such and build out your own thing with them. And I had this conversation on Monday. I was like, I'm not against intermittent fasting. I'm not against keto, but I am. But it's like, I know how to take aspects of what that plan is and make sense of it to fit my lifestyle. So I've said this before. Generally, 9 times out of 10, the first 2 meals I eat in a day are protein and fats. It doesn't mean that I do keto in the mornings, or it doesn't mean that if I skip breakfast, I do intermittent fasting. It's just, I've taken bits and parts of different diets to
what fit works for my you. What works for you?
What works for me? Yeah, exactly.
And same thing for me. I'm not using intermittent fasting as a restriction for me to when I can eat and when I can't eat in order to reduce caloric restriction. What I'm doing is I'm using it to give my digestive system a break and to clean myself out from toxins. So I don't eat anytime after 7 to 8 o'clock, and I don't eat until 10 or 11 o'clock. So it's kind of like my goodish window to do it. And I do that on the weekends. I do it during the weekdays, you know, because it works for me. Like, when I get up in the morning, I don't need to eat right away. You know, when I go to bed at night, I shouldn't be eating anyway a ton of meals at night. So it's just that window works for me in my lifestyle, what we do. And I try to stick to that. I don't always stick to it, but I try to. But that's what works for me. You know, if you're in these rigid diets, again, you know, keto from a diabetic perspective is absolutely phenomenal. You know, so if you're doing it for health benefits, for like diabetes, for example, and to curve, you know, glucose.
Epilepsy as well. It's actually very
epilepsy.
Good to have
that's
epilepsy.
Why, that's what actually started. It started from epilepsy. The diet actually was created because of epilepsy. But you know, and if you're using it to try it out, to see how you react to it and how you feel on it, great. You know, but if you're using it as a system where you think that you're going to be able to stick to it for the rest of your life, you know, that is very difficult to do. I tried keto for 6 months and I hate it. First of all, I love meat and cheese. Love it. My favorite food in the world is meat and cheese. I freaking hated meat and cheese by the end of this. I hated meat and cheese. I didn't want to touch another steak. I didn't want to touch another cheese. I hated life, you know, and the bathroom definitely did not like me either. So I was taking, like, you know, it was just horrible. You know, I felt like total shit the entire time, low energy, got the keto flu, you know, like, and I was just miserable on this thing. And it was, so it's not for me, not for me.
the problem that I have with it is that I guess it's the tribe. It's the tribe that comes along with it that can sort of be the negative side of it. And it's like, no, this is the way and that is it. And they're not willing to have a conversation. They're not willing to accept anything else. I don't know if you've been in any of the keto for beginners Facebook groups or intermittent fasting. Like, that shit is entertaining. Like, the questions that people ask, the things that are said in there, the, like, just total absolute nonsense that people are talking in there. But it's the tribe that comes along with it. It's the lack of education as the way they're doing it. And that's what I don't like. It's not necessarily the diet as such. It's everything that comes along with it.
Well, you can say the same thing for the TRT community too, the testosterone replacement therapy community. I'm in a lot of those groups, and some of the questions you see there, like, my friend told me if I start taking testosterone, I'm going to grow a third ball. I'm like, well, no, that's not true. That's not going to happen. You know, like, you know, it's just, you know, the word of mouth stuff, the things that people hear and the uneducated aspects of things, which is why it's really important, you know, I think, to have, you know, a coach or somebody that's a nutritionist or somebody that, you know, is obviously a doctor, knows what the fuck they're talking about. so that you can do this in a guided approach. If you just have some keto bro, you know, that's guiding you through keto, you know, and that's you know, like, it's not the right approach for you and your healthy lifestyle. So like I'm saying, you know, like, find a tribe. I think tribes are important because it surrounds yourself with like-minded individuals that, you know, again, we operate in tribes. Our brains are designed to work in tribes. So if you can find a tribe that motivates you to be successful and you motivate them to be successful, it's how our brains work. So you're helping the tribe and the tribe is helping you for one outcome or goal of mutual success. And that is what you want to find. And that's why I think, you know, why I had such success with the BC Fam group is because when I came in, first of all, I was the only guy there. And so, you know, I was like, oh shit, you know, like, you know, like, I don't know. I think the second thing you had, like, was all about, periods, which it was actually great for me because like, I understood Erin much more in depth. And I went to her, I'm like, hey, I learned this about periods. She's like, what kind of group are you in? What is this? I'm like, what? I'm like, oh yeah. But you know, but the thing with the group is that, you know, they were so accepting of me coming in. And they were so awesome and motivating to me too. And seeing their progress and me contributing and learning and then learning from you, obviously, you know, it created this dynamic ecosystem of people trying to help one another. And I think, you know, with what we're doing with the We Hack movement, Hack Health, the Hacking Your Health movement, and We Hack Health, you know, all that stuff is the same type of mentality of helping each other raise ourselves up to be healthy, right? And to live longer.
Yeah, I think, well, number one, if you're looking for a tribe and you're not ready, we have one. I'll put the link in the Discord. I'll put the link in the show notes. But the thing that I talk about the client group and the family chat a lot now whenever I'm on initial calls. And the thing about it is that, number one, 85, 90% of the people who are in it are within the same industry. So the struggles are the same and the things that they go through are the same. And what I've recognized over time is obviously there's different people at different stages. So somebody will maybe come into the group called today and that'll be their first call. And there's maybe somebody who's 2 months in and this person's like, oh my God, like it's so overwhelming, like this, and this, and they're trying to take it all in. The person's like just slightly ahead of them would almost see themselves 2 months ago and needing that person and needing that sort of guidance. So there's people sort of along the way that are willing to offer their help. And I think that that's a massive thing. So yeah, it's cool. The whole thing, the wider We Hack Health community is awesome too. And even the people on Twitter, like the hashtag, like it just keeps growing and growing and growing.
It is. And it's so cool to see people's progress and you know, where they're coming from and where they've gone. And, you know, just seeing so many different people just motivate one another. And, you know, I get motivated because I'll be like, oh, you know, I hit a new PR today. Everybody's like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, I can't wait to get there. And, you know, like this is such an awesome, you know, way to share our successes and our goals, because really, you know, we're competing with ourselves to get ourselves better, right? And to have people motivate you to go out there and say, you know, hey, this is the right way to do things. I just want to give, you know, what I would love to start doing, and hopefully we stick to this once a week, is just a quick highlight and shout out to somebody in the We Hack Health community that is either new or that is impressing us in some way, shape, or form with what they're doing from a motivation perspective, positivity, just ways that they're outreaching to others, or, you know, successes that they've had with themselves. You know, just an individual that we can highlight for that week, just to say congratulations for what you're doing. And so this week, I want to congratulate Jason Ram. And Jason, relatively newer to the We Hack Health community, came in and said, third day in a row closing my exercise ring. First time since October 2019 that's happened, I think. A new dawning for me. My body needs it. My family needs it. We Hack Health. And he's got a picture of himself there. So, Jason, congratulations on your third day. I can't wait to hear next week when you're into your sixth day or 10th day. And as you continue to progress in that, you know, for a better health for your family, better health for yourself, and to get out there. I was in the same boat as you, my friend. And, you know, I can tell you the family aspect of things is really what drove me forward. And I have so much more energy. Just yesterday, I was coaching my kids' AAU team for basketball. And I was in there doing the sprints with them and the suicides and going there and you know, playing with them and having fun and goofing off with them and playing games. And they had just had a total blast. And those are memories that I will always have in my life that they'll always have in their life because I was there and I had the energy to be able to do it. Last night, I was telling Ben this, just as a quick story from a family perspective. My son, Mason, he's like, Dad, I want to be jacked. I'm like, okay. Just, you know, he hasn't even hit puberty yet. Hey, we have same goals. You know, it's cool. He's like, he hasn't even hit, you know, puberty yet, but he's like, I want to lift. I'm like, cool, buddy, let's do it. So last night, you know, I'd already done my lifting session, And Mason's like, right after basketball practice, which we put him through hell yesterday, just running and all this other stuff. They were exhausted. He's like, Dad, I know I only got like an hour before I got to go to bed, but can we just go lift? And I'm like, I love you, man. I love you, son. You know? And so we went over there next door and, you know, he's doing deadlifts and everything else. And I'm just sitting there teaching him form and technique. And he PR'd at 110 pound deadlift, which, you know, that's not bad for an 11-year-old. And so, you know, he's, you know, I'm burning out his legs and I'm like, you know, I'll just do a shoulder exercise myself. So I burned out my shoulders. And of course, Orange Theory today was shoulders, which I couldn't even pick up an 8 pound to get over my head. I was like, no, this hurts so bad. You know, those types of memories that I'll have impacting my kids' health and being part of my family and being active with my family, like a good example on vacation, I would have sat there and drank all the, you know, alcohol, ate all the food, and I would have sat there on the beach just completely not willing to move my spot in the position. And I was out there swimming with them. We went snorkeling. You know, we went and saw turtles. We were jumping off, you know, the rocks, which you're not supposed to do, but we did anyway. And so, good parents of the day, you know, those types of experiences are things that I would have never been able to do had I not had the energy. And so, you know, again, I don't want to make this about me. And I apologize if it came off that way. I just want to share that this lifestyle for me has changed my life with my family to be able to be there for them and to have those moments that I didn't have before. And so, Jason, welcome to that journey. And it's going to be an awesome ride. Stick with it. I know you will. And if you ever need any support, we're always here for you at the Hacking Your Health community.
Yeah, I think the point in it is, you know, whenever you were on day three, you wouldn't have seen the stuff that you just talked about. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't have seen being able to go, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
Like, I think the thing about it is, like, it's tough. And one of the, Mike, the guy that he had his onboard call today, so he'll be starting tomorrow. He, his sort of motivation to start is he wants training to be fun again. And obviously, if you don't do it for a while or you haven't done it for a while, it's not fun because it's a fucking chore that you're putting your body through. And it's like, it's tough. So it's getting past that point. So recognizing that at the start that it's tough, but knowing, you know, what the, like what you can achieve down the line, if you just stick to it, is definitely, definitely worthwhile.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, it's no longer a chore for me to do lifting. I enjoy lifting. It's like my sanctuary, my home, my mental spot. It's my everything, man. Like, not everything. I mean, obviously family is everything, but, like when I get to lift, I'm at a different place. I'm relaxed. I feel great. You know, I feel accomplished and I'm just there with myself. I'm competing against myself. Granted, you know, I compete in Orange Theory quite a bit with other people, but when I'm in my gym by myself, even at the gym is fine. But, you know, those things make a big difference in our lives and just getting there to go out and do it, even if it wasn't the greatest day, like yesterday, I told you, you know, I lifted legs Sunday. So my legs were still pretty sore. So I went very light, on legs, but I still did it. I was out there. I did it. You know, even though I could have just said, hey, I can take today off. No, I went out and I did it. I accomplished something and I continued on. So, you know, it's just that repetitiveness and doing the repetitiveness and going above yourself. And Huberman, Andrew Huberman, the neurobiologist or neuroscientist over at Stanford, he talks about how you create neural pathways when you do this. And your body will fight new behaviors at first, but doing it repetitively over time, and it can take anywhere between, you know, 3 weeks to 3 months. But it starts to become normal nature for you and what you do. Same thing for working out. The way I put on my deodorant, the way I brush my teeth, the way I put Rogaine in my hair so I don't lose my hair. You know, all of those things are things that I do on a daily basis so that I have a specific standard of things that I do, right? Same thing with taking a shower. If you stink, you go take a shower. Definitely needed a shower yesterday before practice and I didn't get it in. So I was stinking at practice. You know, those are things that you do on a regular basis. So lifting becomes the same thing. It's a normal behavior. When I go downstairs, I'm doing it because it's part of my normal routine. And that takes time to build up. You will get there and it will become less painful. The DOMS, the late onset muscle soreness that you get, the super soreness goes away. You know, all those things that are preventative things that our body fights us on eventually goes away and becomes second nature to us.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, one thing we haven't spoken about is your new training plan.
Yes. So I am super excited about my new training plan. So long story short, with Ben coming over, he got to see all the equipment that I have, which I got approval from Erin to get another piece of equipment. I actually ran this one through her without buying it and just having it show up because I knew it was going to be one of those ones where it's like, there's no way I'm hiding this one. And so I fell in love with Smith bars. I really love Smith bars, Smith machines. They're incredible. You know, rack pulls are my favorite on those. Squats are incredible, especially my lower back issues. feel super stable on them. And so I started switching to Smith machines, especially when I'm not at my house. And I just really love them for pretty much bench press, everything. Like, it's just amazing. You know, shoulder presses, et cetera. And so I got a new rack coming. But anyways, Ben came over to take a look at all my equipment, obviously hang out, all that good stuff, and create a new training program for me. So I'm really excited. It's actually less work than I was doing before. And what's interesting about this program that I realized is I was doing way too much that wasn't necessary. You know, I'd spend an hour and a half to 2 hours in the gym and just destroying myself, which is a good thing, but it wasn't necessary. I wasn't doing anything other than really making my recovery even harder to do. And, you know, what I realized with this new training program is I'm only lifting, 5 days a week. And on days that I have Orange Theory, my HIIT training, which is Monday, Wednesday, it used to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm only going on two now. I don't have major. So today I don't have a lifting session. Monday, my lifting session was just arms, which is a lot easier to do. So I was finding that if I worked out and I had to lift at the same time, I wasn't giving as much performance as I could be. I was kind of tired, and, you know, doing it twice in one day was kind of a tough time. So I'm really excited about this new training program. I did, you know, it was a full body push yesterday. So push and legs yesterday, chest and legs yesterday, and then arms. And then, we're doing, pull tomorrow, and then, got a full body push on Friday. And then Saturday is, arms legs and arms. Legs. Yep. Legs
limbs.
And arms,
I was going to write limbs, but we'll do legs and arms.
Really excited. Love the program, man. I love that it's all customized off equipment I have, and it's the stuff I love doing. And a lot of the ones that, you know, I haven't done before, you know, like the ones that you show me around, you know, lateral raises, the cross lateral raises, while seated, seated lateral raises, bicep, you know, specific bicep curls, you know, those are all just like really awesome things that I'm loving doing and attacking my muscles from different angles. So I've been having a great time with it. So appreciate that.
Cool. I'm excited to see what we achieve with this one.
Yep. Me too.
All right. That's us wrapped up. Yeah. Next week we have a guest.
I'm excited. So we want to get more guests on, obviously, and that's important for us to get different folks in. But I'm really excited about this one because when Ben brought this in, I'm like, all right, I might have found somebody that was a little weird. You know, like, you know, just
this is like the hippie shit that people are like, okay. It's basically Sean, the guy that does the breathwork sessions, is coming on the podcast next week. And it's actually going to fall quite nicely. So we're recording, obviously, next Wednesday. It will drop on the Tuesday, which is the 3rd of May. And then he's joining our weekly group call on the 4th. So it's been a while since he's been on. He's got a cool story. So yeah. I'm excited to share that. He is from Strabane. So forewarning, he has an accent, which will be entertaining. Obviously, you know, you've heard him before, but I'm looking forward to having him. I'm looking forward to allowing him to tell his story, and I'm looking forward to getting him back in the weekly group call.
Yeah. I just want to explain to people, keep an open mind. So the first time that he came on, we did what was called a breathing journey, right? And breathing exercises. And I will tell you, it was probably one of the most intense things that I have ever experienced before in my life. You know, just the how our bodies process imagery and how we can use that from a breathing technique perspective and how we can force our bodies. Like, you know, basically, you know, long story short is, you know, he basically creates this environment that you're visualizing in your head that you're there and you're doing breathing exercises. You're climbing up a mountain. Your breathing gets more and more, you know, chaotic as you're going up. And it's just, I'll tell you, it was intense. It was awesome. Some high levels of deep relaxation, some high levels of exertion. I felt like I had done a full body workout afterwards too. It was really cool. And so when you talk about this, there's some really great people out there doing a lot of research on breathing, and it's got some really awesome benefits for your health, your body, your mind, everything else. And I was really skeptical at first, and I was like, you know, if Aaron comes in here and I'm literally sitting on the ground going, you know, like, she's like, what the hell is Dave doing right now?
What is
now?
This,
like,
group you're in? This seriously, group you're in?
Yeah, what is this group? We get periods 1 week and he's here sitting there doing, you know, breathing exercises up a mountain the other. So, but it was incredible. And I really,
the way,
you know,
I describe it is it's the most outer body experience that I've ever had.
Yes.
And you do genuinely need to commit to it. But if you do, I call it unlocking the keys to the kingdom. Like, what you can achieve, what you can visualize, like what you get from it is absolutely incredible. So I'm looking forward to having him back on. I'm looking forward to having him on the podcast. I think it will be a very cool episode.
He's awesome.
Yeah. So that'll be next week.
That's it. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to us today. Obviously, Hacking Your Health. We hack health on Twitter. Check out our Discord, everything else that we're on from a social media perspective. And just want to say we appreciate you and sharing your experiences. So please get out there, share your experiences. If you're listening to us, hit us up on the We Hack Health Twitter handle and the We Hack Health hashtag. We're always monitoring that, looking for folks and encouraging you as you go on your journey. So thank you all very much.
Yeah. See you next week.
See you next week.